Good morning. Good morning. I love what Sammy said. Thank you for getting out of bed. That's such an honest statement. It's like, thank you for getting up, right? Sunday morning. Well, my name's Chris. My wife, Nikki, and I are the marriage and family pastors. And really, I'm glad that you're here this morning. I read the Star Tribune, and I tell you that because I want to attempt to be relevant with you for at least a little bit. But I read it often, and I came across this story. Maybe you read it. It came out, like, I believe, on May 30th. And it's a story about a block in White Bear Lake Township, and it highlighted, like, a couple different houses. And the center of the story is a woman by the name of Lori. And they mention her name. I don't know this woman. They mention her in the Star Trib. And what happened was there was 80 complaints over several years, 80 complaints against this woman, Lori, of her harassing and bullying the neighborhood, right? This was not the best neighbor in the world. And they went around and interviewed different neighbors talking about their stories, how they interacted with her. Lori thought it would be a good idea to find out weaknesses or problems going on in the neighborhood and then highlight them in very creative ways. Like one neighbor right across the yard from her was struggling with alcohol and had a little bit of an addiction issue. She found out about it and made a big banner that, like, mocked and ridiculed this woman's addiction with alcohol. You know, woke up in the morning saying, you know what would be a really good idea? I'm going to make a art and crafts project that's highlighting her alcoholism so that everyone around here can see it, right? She would make up songs that she would sing to this woman's kids about the drunken sailor song. She got a remote control car that pretended like it was a drunk driver, right? Yeah, this is all in Star Tribune. I'm not making this up, right? And this got me thinking when I saw this, right? 80 different complaints. And the lieutenant in the paper said he's never, ever seen anything like this before. Someone who was intentionally trying to harass like people so intentionally. And this has got me thinking, right? How do you become that kind of neighbor? Right? How do you become that kind of neighbor? Not like, how do you become that kind of neighbor? Like, I don't want to become that kind of neighbor. But it got me thinking, like, how do you end up at that place? Right? Did Lori, like, when she moved in this town, you know, 15 years ago, walk in, look around, talk to some neighbors and say, you know what's missing here? Someone who can harass people. This is, you know what? I think I could be that person, you know, and kind of put a whiteboard up on her, you know, on her table and kind of plan on and say, you know, in 15 years, if I work really hard, right? If I eat my Wheaties every day, and I think, if God willing, I could be that kind of person 15 years, right? Was that her plan? No, this is a place where she ended up. And in the story, they don't tell us what happened. But I imagine that there was some deep hurts. Clearly, there was some deep hurts where she wasn't maybe able to get out from under that hurt. And so what happens, it comes out sideways. But you know what the truth is? Is that, like, well, I'm not going to say we. I'm going to say me. Like, I'm really not that much different than Lori. Right? It wouldn't take a whole lot for me to end up like Lori, because here's the truth, is that I've experienced deep hurts in my life. I've experienced some tragic things. We have experienced some tragic things. And depending on how we walk through that, we'll have a way of impacting where we end up. Right? What we call that is forgiveness. And we're in the middle of a series called Soul Care. And the whole idea of Soul Care is this, that we believe God has something incredibly good and beautiful for us. Every single part and element of us, physically, emotionally, spiritually, even believe in our soul, that God wants to develop and is developing something good and beautiful. And in this series, we're trying to explore how can we evaluate the state and the health of our soul, and how can we allow God to come and continue to make an impact in us. A huge part in this is forgiveness, or if you flip it around, is unforgiveness. That unforgiveness kills. It kills. Think about in your mind right now, think of someone that hurt you. Someone that said something to you that was like, just got you, right? And later on, when you see that person, have you ever had this kind of emotion where you see him walk into a room and you're like, freeze, and you start looking around the room like, You're like Jason Bourne, nearest exits. How do I, you know, I have to start running, diving under tables, right? Why? Because you don't want to have that conversation with that person because it hurts. Or when someone will say a name of that person, it's like, oh yeah, hey, did you talk to Joe Bag of Donuts? And you're like, all of a sudden something inside you just feels like someone just put their finger in your chest. And emotionally, you have this emotional reaction where it just ruins your day. Have you ever had these kind of experiences? Like, why does that happen to us? Because I believe that there is this miracle that God's inviting us into, and it's called forgiveness. And there's a lot of things that we run up against that we don't understand forgiveness, we don't really know what it is, and we don't even know how to practically walk through it. So my goal is this. I want to look at the Bible, and I want to just begin to break down some myths of what forgiveness is, and then hopefully we can begin to practically walk through what Jesus says in Matthew 18, forgiveness from the heart. And so I'm going to be honest. You might have walked in today, and there might be a significant person or memory of something that someone did to you. Or maybe you did to someone else. And I just believe that God is inviting us into something good and beautiful, and I think there's going to be a miracle that can happen today. It's throughout as we talk, I'm going to pray in a little bit. I'm going to invite God just to be present with us. I believe that God is going to speak to a lot of us, and there's going to be an opportunity to experience the kingdom of God, not just later, but now. So let me pray. So Holy Spirit, we invite you to come. We just invite your tangible presence to be with us, God. And as we navigate just this idea of forgiveness, God, I pray that you would be the one who would be the one speaking to us. That as maybe some memories or experiences or people come to mind, instead of going to guilt, hurt, and shame, God, I pray that your voice would just be louder and your truth would be put inside of us. So you get to be king today. You get to be the boss. And we just say yes to you. Amen. All right, we are reading out of Ephesians chapter 4. There's Bibles in front of you, and I encourage you to grab it, and it's on page 816. And as you're finding this, let me tell you again a little bit why we make the Bible such a big deal. We use the Bible often because we believe the Bible is more than just a bunch of stories that have warm, fuzzy moments that we tell our kids. All right, seriously, sometimes it's easy to get into like, oh, we're at a church, you have to use the Bible. No, we use the Bible because we believe that it's not just a big deal, that it is the only deal. That the Bible is the authoritative word of God, and how we want to build our community, our lives, our relationships, our sexuality, our finances, everything, we want to base it off the word of God. So that when you're here and you're hearing people talk from up front or in small groups or an apprentice group, whatever it might be, that we're using the Bible so that you're getting Jesus. So we make it a big deal because it is a big deal. It's the only deal. So Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, a guy by the name of Paul writes a letter and says this: be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Let me read it one more time. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So Paul says, hey, guess what? You followers of Jesus, I want you to be kind and compassionate, right? That seems like a good idea. Seems like, you know, like something that would be worth writing down. But how does he tell us to be kind and compassionate? By exchanging pleasantries with one another? By not looking, making awkward eye contact in the elevator, right? That's kind of compassionate. You ever had that person walk in and they're like, how you doing? And you're like, why are you looking at me? Right? Or like if someone wears white shoes, you know, before Memorial Day, you know, is it being kind of compassionate to say, wow, awesome outfit, all right? I think that's, you're not supposed to wear white shoes. I don't know. Anyways, so he says to be kind and compassionate is by forgiving one another. That in order to be kind, as followers of Jesus, this is who we are. The kind of compassionate thing to do is to forgive. And he tells us how to do it. He gives us our target, our model. It's the person of Jesus. In the same way that Christ God forgave you. You see, this cross is just not a hipster thing made out of wood to put in a church to make you look relevant, to make you look cool, right? It's not just a really cool little logo that we wear on our necks. The cross screams kindness and compassion. even in an offensive way, because God became man. And out of his kindness and compassion, he gave his one only son so that no one shall perish but experience eternal life. God came in the form of man and died because he's kind and compassionate, because he loves you. He wants to be with you. And he forgave your sins because he is so hungry to be with you and let you experience this real life. And Paul is saying, in the same way God forgave us out of kindness and compassion. Brenda Gantlin, our senior pastor, gave a message last week all about repentance and how God was kind and compassionate in forgiving sins. The same thing, kind and compassionate to forgive the people around us. But let's be honest, right? Forgiveness is not easy. I kind of wish Paul would have said, be kind and compassionate to one another and buy fruit baskets for people. Right? Because who doesn't love a fruit basket, right? Like you heard someone like, oh, bananas, yay, right? It's like, forgiveness is incredibly difficult. C.S. Lewis says this, forgiveness is a lovely idea until you have someone to forgive. Isn't that the truth? Like in theory, forgiveness is just like high fives all around. Like, yeah, forgiveness. But when all of a sudden there's someone that you have to forgive, it's like, no, I don't want that. And we're, you know what, you know, a couple of attaboys for us, we're pretty good at avoiding forgiveness. We work really hard. We self-medicate through prescription drugs, through Netflix, through coffee, through alcohol, by trying just to suppress those memories, those feelings. We do a really good at being busy to avoid those conversations and to running into people by being so consumed in our kids' lives and what they're doing, by being so consumed at our jobs, in our house, in our projects, whatever it might be, so we'd never have a free moment to just even mentally engage. Or we do this, sadly, is that we will displace that hurt we have that's been done to us so that we've done to other people, and we project it on someone else. Think about it, right? With kids, maybe you've seen this, maybe it was done to you, where, well, you know, my dad did this to me, so guess what, son? Tough luck. You get to experience it now. Instead of walking through forgiveness and breaking the chain, we just put it on someone else. Could be your kids, could be your spouse, could be a leader, could be a pastor, could be your small group leader, could be your one of your employees. Where since I'm suffering, you're suffering. We work really hard. But I believe that forgiveness changes everything. And it's at, I believe, at the crux of our relationships with our roommates, with our friends, with our siblings, with our kids, and our marriages, with the parking ticket ladies, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, forgiveness is really good there, right? Like, forgiveness, I believe, is one of the best things that, as Christianity, can offer the world. Because it's supernatural. So what I want to do is we're going to look at three things. We're going to look at what forgiveness is not. Because we short-circuit our healing by lies that we make true. Then imagine this, we're going to look at what forgiveness is. And then where we want to end is just how do we practically walk through biblical forgiveness, forgiveness from the heart. How do you, because you know what, in our minds we think, oh yeah, that's really easy. In truth, it is easy, but it's incredibly difficult at the same time. So let's start. What forgiveness is not. What forgiveness is not. The first thing is this, forgiving is not forgiving. Or, sorry. Forgiving is forgiving. Sorry. Forgiving is not forgetting. Right? Have you ever heard this before? Right? Just, yay! You just got to forgive and forget, brother. Come on. Bring it in for the real thing. Come on. Forgive and forget. Right? If you knock my ice cream over on the ground, I might forgive and forget about that. Emphasis on the might. Right? But imagine saying this to your friend who walks up to you and says, I just saw my wife kiss another man. I went to her work a little bit early to surprise her, and I saw her just kiss. Would it be appropriate to say, hey, just forgive and forget, man? Come on. No, that it's absurd. It's a nice little slogan that we use to make ourselves feel better. Forgiveness is not forgetting. Because if that's the truth, then the forgiveness is based on who? It's based on me. Forgiveness is based on what I can conjure up, how strong I am. It's impossible to forget those things, right? Like if I tell you right now, Don't think about the happiest place on earth. You're going to think about Carlton, all right? Over and over and over again. And you're going to think about bike trails and ice cream, and that's about it. So, right? You just can't will yourself to forget. Because in reality, there's some deep, tragic things that you've walked through. Like maybe you've walked through an affair. You're just supposed to forget about that. Maybe you've been the recipient of a form of racism. Maybe you've experienced like someone, like one of your siblings trying to rob you out of an inheritance. Or what about those things when we were like kids or teenagers, like the teacher pulling up in front of the class and like ridiculing you in front of all your classmates? Maybe it was something, you know, like that was when you were in sports and you got replaced. Like it's your senior year and then they give the varsity spot to a freshman, right? Like how do you just forget? Because those are valid feelings. Those are legit feelings. You're just supposed to be able to just forget them? No. So what are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to just like continue to relive those moments over and over and over? No. Forgiveness is not forgetting, but how are we supposed to respond to it? Is this, right? Let's say in our lives we have a hard drive. Our brain, our bodies, like is just like one big computer. On that hard drive there is files, and those files range from the positive experiences all the way down to like the negative and everything in between. And on the desktop there is a folder that is those really deep, hurtful things, right? There is no magic button just to delete those and say, oh, that never happened. No, it happened. But what forgiveness is intentionally going to God and saying, God, I want to live here. And the truth is sometimes we do. Because sometimes it makes us feel better when we hurt. It feels better when we can just continue to feel like the victim. And we say, well, this is who I am. I'm nothing different. And God's saying, no, that is not who you are. Who you are is someone loved. And I have something good and beautiful for you. So instead of forgetting, what we're saying is, God, I am saying I know that's there. But I'm not going to run to it anymore. Will you come and put forgiveness in me? Will you put healing in me? So when I see my brother, when I see my spouse, when I see my boss, when I see my cousin, I can look at them and they don't have to relive that experience. There's a big difference through forgetting. So forgiveness is not forgetting. The second thing that forgiveness is not, well, let me say this. A pastor by the name of Rich Nathan said this: if a hurt can be easily forgiven or forgotten, if a hurt can be easily forgotten, then forgiveness, is it really needed? Like if you can really just forget about the ice cream, do I really need to say, hey, God, will you put forgiveness in me for this person right now? Maybe, probably not. But how we're supposed to respond to the things that we simply can't forget. How do we receive forgiveness? All right, so forgiveness is not forgetting. Second thing is this: forgiveness is not a get out of jail free card. Forgiveness is not a one-time act. All right? A get out of free jail card is when in Monopoly you're like, oh, I'm in jail, and all of a sudden you pull out this magical thing and you act like it never happened before. I don't know about you, but I have a big mouth. I will say incredibly stupid things to people. I'm trying to like get better at it. But there'll be times where I'll be talking with my wife and I'll say something and it will just, as it comes out, I'm watching it, it's like me falling down the stairs. I'm like, what am I saying right now, right? And in those, you've been there, you're laughing at me or with me, and there's been times where I'm watching and tears are starting to form, right? And what do? Whoa. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Please forgive me. No, put down that knife, right? But forgive me, right? But, you know, it's funny, but we really use that sometimes as a way of what? By cutting off the conversation. Because I realized that I hurt her. And so I'm saying, forgive me, because I don't want to have to walk through, watch you cry. I don't want to have to hear how that made you feel and how that hurt you and offended you. Because that doesn't make me feel good. It doesn't make me feel like a good husband or a dad or as an employee. Right? It doesn't make me feel really warm and fuzzy inside. So we say, will you forgive me, as a way of cutting off so we can move on. Right? Sometimes we treat it like it's this get out of jail free card, or it's this magic word that just says, I'm a Christian, you must forgive me. Move on. But what about all the hurt that's still inside? What about all those things that we still feel? It just doesn't just go away. You know, a lie with this that we believe is that forgiveness is just based on you and me. Because I can solve it by my words. I'm not pointing, I have nothing to forgive you about. Sorry. I just looked at her and she's like, oh my gosh, what did I do? It's not just something between you and me. It's something we're going to talk a little bit about that it's supernatural between God. But it's not a one-time thing. And we can use it as a way to manipulate. We can use it as a way of just ending it. In the same way, flip it around. We can use the word forgiveness as a way of forgiving other people too quickly. Right? I know what you're thinking. So, Chris, you're saying that we should not love people quickly? We should actually hate them? No, I'm not saying that. But think about it. When people come to you and say, I have hurt you, will you please forgive me? Sometimes we can say, yes, I forgive you. In the same way, we can cut off our emotion, saying, I don't want to have this awkward conversation. I don't want to have to sit in the same room with you anymore. I'm just going to tell you what you want to hear so then we can all move on. I mean, I have done this myself. And it doesn't work. Because you wake up in the morning and you think about what happened and that deep hurt, that like physical, like when I experience it, I feel like there's someone with a hand inside it and they're just grabbing my heart and they're squeezing it. Have you felt that before? It doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel good. And so, like, what I encourage you to do is when people come to you and say, hey, will you forgive me? And like in the midst of that hurt or in the midst of the discovery that you've been taken as a fool, say, you know what? I'm going to choose to forgive you. But this is really difficult for me. I have to allow God to put the pieces of my heart back together so I can really, truly forgive you. But I have to go to God first. So what this doesn't mean, all right? This doesn't mean that we can use it as a weapon. And saying, no, I'm not going to forgive you. I just cried for the past 48 hours. Guess what you're going to do for the next 3 weeks? I'm going to make you cry. Yeah! That goofy-looking pastor told me I could do that, right? No. It's not about hanging it over someone's head. It's about being honest and not just telling them what they want to hear. So forgiveness is not forgetting. Forgiveness is not a one-time act. So if it's not a one-time act, then what is it? Forgiveness is then a process. Forgiveness is a process. You have to start by making that initial decision of saying, I'm going to forgive you. Or I would say, I'm going to try to forgive you, to be quite honest. Like, I'm going to engage with God in forgiving you. But it's going to come up time and time and time again. I'm going to be telling a story in a little bit about for 6 years I had to walk through forgiveness with one person. 6 years. Because what happens when you run into those people, you think about it, you watch a movie, it reminds you of that experience. You're going to go back to that hurtful place. C.S. Lewis, again, very quotable, said this, to forgive for the moment is not that difficult, but to go on forgiving, to forgive the same offense again and again, every time it reoccurs to the memory, that is the real tussle. To forgive one time, it's maybe not that difficult, but continue to engage with God every time that hurt comes up, every time that offense comes up, is difficult. You have to continue to press in to God. Because forgiveness is leading to healing. And in anything, if you break your arm, right, if you have some kind of hurt, there is a process of healing. And I believe that when we go to God and we're asking for God, will you put forgiveness in me? He's going to expose one hurt, like maybe one conversation. And then you're going to get forgiveness for that. But that's going to open a door of what you did with that hurt. Or what you wanted to say, or what you did say to that person back. And there's going to be more healing. Then it'll open another door into how we responded to that other conversation. Does that make sense? It's a continual process. But it's a beautiful process. And the truth is, we want it to be a one-time act. We want it to be clean. But that's not how life is. And you know what the beautiful part is? Is that we can be okay in that tension. We can trust that God has something good for us and be able to walk in that tension in those relationships. That we can say, God, I'm going to be okay. This is going to hurt tomorrow and the next day, and I'm going to ask that you will put love and forgiveness in me so when I see that person, I can bless them. And we have to do that over and over and over and over. The second thing with this, right, so in the midst of the process, part of forgiveness is dealing with the consequences. This is not like the warm, fuzzy part of forgiveness, right? You have to deal with the boundaries and limitations as a result of that offense that you had. So what I'm not talking about is between us and God. In Romans 8, chapter, or Romans 8, verse 1, it says, I'm going to get there. This says this: therefore, there's now no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. When you, like, submit your life to God, when you go to God and say, God, will you forgive me for what I've done? Will you put forgiveness in me for what's going on? Between us and God, all accounts are settled. The cross settles all accounts. God doesn't just forgive us and say, yes, you're forgiven, but now I'm going to punish you. Right? He doesn't say, yeah, you're forgiven, but now I'm going to put a zit on your forehead and everyone's going to laugh at you. In reality, isn't that what we believe about God? Like, God's good, but he ain't that good. He might forgive me, but it's going to come back. The other shoe's going to drop pretty soon. And nowhere in the Bible do we see that. So I'm not talking about consequences between us and God, but there is consequences when we offend other people in our relationships, right? So let's use in a marriage, someone who had an affair, they break their marital vows, right? If someone had an affair, we teach and we believe that there can be a miracle happen where you can forgive and God can restore your marriage. That there can be forgiveness. That is incredibly difficult. I've seen it happen, and it is a beautiful thing when the Holy Spirit shows up and couples begin to walk through that, engage in that forgiveness and healing process, right? But there's going to be consequences, right? So there's a consequence that the person who had the affair then has to, like, for the next 15 years, like, earn back that love and respect by buying, like, teddy bears and diamonds and unicorns, whatever girls like, right? I'm really, really in touch with the female, right? So does that mean they have, like, washed dishes for the next 15 years? No, that's not what forgiveness is. But the consequence or limitations might be you might have to have conversations that you never imagined yourself having with your spouse before. You might have to have an open agreement of all my pastors from email, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, my phone, so you can text my text messages. Like, we're just going to make it, like, full disclosure. It might be, yes, I'm going to forgive you for this act. I'm in the process of forgiving. I'm getting God's heart. But that is just the tip of the iceberg of all these other deep hurts that we've hurt each other, that we've brought into this marriage. And we need help. We need help. This can be in a marriage. This could be in a relationship with one of your best friends who betrayed you. This could be with a sibling, with a parent. And just saying, yes, this happened, but there's something deeper. We need prayer. We need God to come and restore that foundation. Imagine, all right, another example is, like, let's say you let your teenager, like, take the car and drive it, and they crash it, right? You're going to try, I'm going to forgive you, right? You're going to try and walk through forgiving them. Does that mean the next time they want the car, you say, yeah, awesome, throw the keys, here's $20, right? No, you're going to have a different conversation with them. I'd say you might have to be home by 7 p.m. You can't text and drive at the same time. Not a good idea, right? So we like to think because there's forgiveness, then we are free from all other responsibilities. That's not what forgiveness is. The truth is there's boundaries and limitations in the midst of forgiveness. And lastly, is forgiveness can alter the course of your destiny. It can alter the course of your destiny. And what I mean is this. It is natural and normal for us when we're hurt to hurt other people back, right? Someone pushes you, you want to push them back. Someone makes a comment that's kind of passive-aggressive on Facebook, what do you want to do? Put it back saying, I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't know how you can put that on Facebook, this look. Right? I think that this miracle of forgiveness can change our destiny because you don't have to end up like that anymore. That when we engage in biblical forgiveness, forgiveness from the heart, it changes us. Because no longer do I have to live under the expectation of trying to make our relationship better by me just trying to be a nicer person. I don't just have to try hurting you more because you're hurting me. Instead, I can say, I don't have to be that person because who I am is I'm a son or I'm a daughter of the King of Jesus. And what he has for me is good. And what he has for me is beautiful. And I am free. I don't have to walk around trying to be codependent. When people hurt me, I don't have to just let it destroy me. There's an answer to my hurt. I can go and I can get that from God and I can go around and I can bless people. not being dictated by their emotions and what they're doing. Because forgiveness, again, isn't just between you and I. It's between me and God, and allowing him to put it in me so that I can really then forgive you. It changes our destiny. How would it impact your relationship just with your family? Let's start with your siblings. Because as I've gotten older, I've realized that it's not just about playing in the sandbox anymore, right? There is hard conversations. There is different cultures in your families that you're trying to compete with, right? There's all that family politics around Thanksgiving. Well, anytime you get together, there's family politics, right? When you can actually forgive, you don't have to hold on to those hurts or those words anymore. But you can be free for them and bless and love the people around you. Your siblings, your kids, your marriage. Instead of just trying to sling mud at each other and just trying to power up to make yourself feel better, you can turn around and bless your husband or bless your wife. You can't do that unless there's biblical forgiveness from the heart. So let's go there. How do we then actually practically walk through forgiveness? Like, what does it really look like? There's three things. The first thing I believe we have to do is be brutally honest. You have to be brutally honest. Sometimes we picture ourselves, when we're trying to talk with God, as God's kind of like this sweet old grandma, right? And you say something, you just want to be really honest, and you let like a little word slip that you're really angry, and what would grandma do? Oh my gosh, why would you say such things, right? You can't talk to me like that, right? Sometimes you have to be just completely raw with God. In the Psalms, one of the people who wrote the Psalms, King David, he had this way of just really being raw with his relationship, what he felt about God, with himself, with his friends, with his enemies. Like, he would just, like, let it fly. And what I love about it is that, like, that's what I feel. And there's times where I want to hesitate being completely honest with God. But if we can't be honest with God, then are we even really in touch with what we're angry about, what we're feeling, what is hurt? I had a pastor, a friend of mine, tell me, saying, Chris, like, I was saying, hey, I'm not doing so well, I'm kind of hurt. And after a while, he's just like, just stop. Why are you being so vague? What are you afraid of? Like, are you concerned that you're going to offend me, that I've never heard that stuff before? Are you afraid you're going to, like, surprise God? Like, you did what, Christopher? Right? We have to be honest, because if we can't be honest with God, we can't be honest with ourselves. A good exercise is to imagine that hurt that you had. Is imagine like it's a knife. Where did that knife go in? Was it when you read the email? Was it when you overheard the conversation at work of how they were talking about you? Was it when you discovered that, you know, in that email that everyone was just really making fun of you? And then where did it go in, but what did it hit? Are you really angry about the email, or are you angry what happened after it? Like, there has to be this process of us getting in touch with what we really feel. Because when we can be honest with ourselves, we can be honest with God, it leads us to a place, which is the next part, where we can invite God to be a part of this. We can invite the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is just the practical, tangible presence of God. And when we are investigating our heart, I've realized, even though I'm trying to be honest, God wants to reveal deeper things in my life. Or yeah, I feel like the knife went in here, but God is saying, but this is, Chris, where it hit. And so, like, again, it's very practical. It would look just something like this. God, what is wrong with me? Why do I feel this way, God? Why am I angry all the time? Why is it when I see, like, okay, I'm going to be really honest here. My son just started Little League. And I've always wondered, why do dads yell at their kids on the field, right? Like, seriously, I'm like, why? That doesn't make sense. How does that help anything? I watched my son play his first baseball game, and I'm gripping the bench, just wanting to, like, come on, elbow up, no, stop playing with the grass, right? Like, I just something inside me wants to just to dictate his performance. Why? Because that would make me feel better, right? And so I had to think, God, why do I feel this way? And I just felt like God just came and spoke to me saying, because you feel like you don't want to be embarrassed as a dad. You want everyone to look and say, look how good of a daddy is because of the way he catches the ball. That's not God's heart. Right? That's not God's heart for me or my son. And so, like, I was being honest with him, and then God came and revealed something deeper. Does that make sense? So it starts by being honest and then engaging with God. And the last thing is this, is what did I call it? It ends with the miracle. A miracle. A miracle is defined by this, a surprising and welcome event that is not explicable by natural or scientific laws and is considered to be divine. Forgiveness is a miracle because it is this supernatural exchange between us and God. A Christian artist by the name of Larry Norman said this, the Beatles wrote All You Need Is Love, and then they broke up. Right? And what I mean is this, that we are absolutely convinced that we have what it takes to love people. We think that our hearts can really love our friends, our neighbors. Maybe even for some of us, we think, oh, I can totally love my enemies. No, we don't have what it takes. Because we can say, yes, I forgive you, and we can mean it with these magical words. But when you see that person again, it's going to be like another punch to the stomach and saying, but I still hate them. A supernatural exchange is where we take what we're being honest about, what God highlights, and then go to God and saying, God, I want to hurt this person incredibly bad. I want to just bring them through the mud. But will you show up and put love in me and take out that hurt so that I can be okay? So that I can bless and love the people around me. It has to be something outside of ourselves. I experienced this just 2 years ago. When I graduated college, I graduated college, got married, and started a new job as a youth pastor in another state in a really small town all within 2 weeks. And my wife and I walked in, eyes wide open. We're like, this is great. We felt called to ministry at a young age, and we got our chance. And over the next 14 months, what we experienced was just incredible, incredible hurt. Just, we put our heart and our trust and our energy in this community, and what we got in return was just pain. And let me be full disclosure on this. I was a big part of this problem. I'm not putting it all on them. I was not the victim. But what we walked through was incredibly difficult and hurtful. And we ended up leaving, and we actually called up Michael and Brenda, our senior pastors, because Nikki knew them and told them, like, hey, if this is what church is, if this is what ministry is, we want nothing to do with it. And Michael looked at us and goes, you're going to fit in perfect at the Vineyard. And the truth, it was. And you know what I thought? Everything I said, I wrote this message as like a personal testimony. Everything I said, I believed. I believed that I just had to say, yes, I forgive you. And it was done. And I would just try forgetting about it and moving on. And over 6 years, this community, you people, showed my wife and I what real forgiveness looks like. It's a process. It's a supernatural act that is going to hurt, that there's going to be consequences, and I have to learn and grow. So 6 years, I kept doing it over and over again, and people would say the person's name, and I'd have this emotional reaction saying, oh, I have to forgive again? I thought I was done with it. Right? So I go to this Vineyard conference, and the church that I was a part of had no affiliation whatsoever with the Vineyard. I show up, and there's this room full of pastors, men and women, only about 50 of them. And I walk in the room, you know, me, the life of the party, hey, what's up, everyone? Woo! Right? And I look, and there's that pastor from 6 years ago. He's standing right there. I stopped, and I went out of the room and went into the hallway, and I began to feel my heart searching for something, began to go down. Like, in the same way that you would go looking for your kids, you know, before you go to work, you'd pop in and see, you know, if they're still sleeping and say goodbye to them. You'd open that door and fully expect to find them in their bed, right? That would be logical. My heart began to walk, and when I opened that door, what I found was nothing. There was nothing. A year before this, if I would have seen that guy, I would have opened that door in my heart, what I would have found was rage. I would have walked up to him saying, who do you think you are being here? I had to leave to get away from you. You show up here of all places? I would have let him have it. Because I played that scenario in my head a lot. If I ever see him, this is what I'm going to say. And I was shocked. I felt like God say, this is what forgiveness looks like. I wish I could say experience that supernatural forgiveness lots of times. That was the first time. And honestly, guys, I had this moment where I'm like, it works. Right? You know, I was a pastor, bad pastor, whatever it is, right? Like it. But seriously, I felt like this really works, this aha moment. And I walked up to this guy, I went right up to him, interrupted a conversation, and I shook his hand, and he looked at me. You know what he said? Chris, I'm so sorry I hurt you. That's the first thing he said to me. I'm so sorry that I hurt you and your wife. And you know what the beautiful thing is? I didn't need that to be okay. I thought I did. I didn't, because God put something deeper, something supernatural, a miracle inside of me. And I was able to look back at him and say, you know what? I'm sorry for I hurt your family. And we like embraced, we prayed, and I still run into him now, and I'm able to bless him instead of curse him. That is what biblical forgiveness looks like. It is incredibly difficult and painful, but it is worth it to engage with God over and over and over and over and allow him to put something real inside of you so you can bless your enemies, you can bless your spouse, your kids, your coworkers, instead of just giving it back to them. Let me end with a story. The story I heard is about a three-year-old girl. She goes to her uncle's house who has some money and he liked to collect art, and she sees this beautiful Chinese vase, and she goes up and she grabs it and she puts her hand right in it, right? And she starts crying. Uncle walks in. He's like, well, what are you doing? Put that down. She's like, I can't. It's stuck on me. So uncle comes over like any good man would do. He's like, oh, I can do it. Pull a little bit. Logical solution is what? Pull harder. So pulls harder. More tears come. Then he has another great idea. Let's go get some butter. Butter up the arm. Butter fixes everything. Not this. Get some soap. Get some olive oil. Try and do whatever they can to get the arm out of the vase. Nothing works. And at this time, the three-year-old is just traumatized, is bawling, and finally he's like, I give up. I have to break the vase. This is an incredibly expensive vase, but it's not worth, you know, going through all this screaming. So he breaks the vase, and what they find is when they pull her arm out of it, her hand's in a fist the whole time. And he's like, why wouldn't you just open your hand? And when they open up her hand, what they found was a penny. She looks in the vase, found a penny, reached in, grabbed it, and didn't want to let it go, no matter what, and broke this incredibly beautiful thing for a penny. So my question to you is this. What are you holding on to that you are worth and you're willing and risking to break something incredibly beautiful in your relationship with your family or your friends, maybe even with God? Are you holding on to that hurt because it feels good, because you want to be right, because you want to hold it over someone's head? Are you holding on to unforgiveness because you feel like, I earned this, I deserve this? That you're willing to break something beautiful. See, forgiveness really starts, another way of putting it, is just by being open-handed and letting it go, because that something that you have in here, there's something even more beautiful for you. So what I'd like to do is this. When I talked about earlier that there could be a miracle that God could come and put something, forgiveness in your heart for someone, I believe he is going to do that. So what I'm going to invite you to do is I'm going to invite you to stand, and then we're going to pray. So Holy Spirit, we just invite you to come. And God, I invite your presence. Even like the song we sang earlier, hallelujah, our God reigns. I ask for your rule and reign just to come over us right now, God. And we want to be honest. We just acknowledge that we have hurts that have been done to us. And truth is, we've probably hurt a lot of people, and we might not even be touched with that. But I ask, God, you will just begin to highlight the things that we're holding on to, that penny that we're holding on to. Will you come right now and show us what that is? For some of us here, it's someone in this room. You continually show up at church and you see them, you think, how can that person even walk through this door? If I told somebody what they did, they'd probably ask them to leave. For some of you, it's someone who's sitting right next to you, a family member. For some of you, it's that boss that you wish you could walk in the office and just let them have it. And you hold on to that feeling of, I'm just gonna hurt them so bad. God, will you come right now and highlight that? We invite you into that process. And if you're here today and you feel like there is something God's highlighting, a specific thing that you feel like you're holding your like close fist on, I'm gonna invite you into just a really simple thing. But just a way of just starting. Like it's just the first step in acknowledging, I want forgiveness. I'm gonna just have you open your hand. Just right where you're at, just hold open your hand as a way of saying, God, I'm going to just let it go. I'm gonna trust that you have something better for me. So Holy Spirit, I pray that for those of you who are holding our hands open, or the people here who are like just hungry, maybe even like desperate for forgiveness, for healing, God, will you come right now and we exchange that memory, exchange those words, we exchange that act that happened. Will you take it? Just right now, will you take it? And what you put in exchange of it is love, peace, acceptance, like real validation, forgiveness. And I pray that when they see that person, when they go back to that memory, they get recalled, when they open that door, what they find isn't that hurt or that rage. What they find is you, that you would live in that room. Just come. I'm going to invite our ministry team to come up front. We take time just to pray for another. Like, we're going to worship, and we worship through song. But we also worship in community by just praying for one another. And the people up here are people who have trained in how to pray. They're not counselors. They're not going to try fixing you. Nothing. They're not going to condemn you. They're not going to laugh at you. These are people who are for you and for your life. And they want to partner with you in going to God and allowing him to come and put that healing inside of you. That's it. So my invitation is two things. The first thing is this. Like, you feel like God highlighted something in your life. Like, you held open your hand. But you just feel like, is it that simple, Chris? Is it really just me just trusting Jesus? I feel like God's going to bring me through all these different hoops. And you don't know what to do. These people know how. They've walked through forgiveness themselves. So I'm going to invite you to come up at any time. The second thing is this. Is that I just feel like there's a sense that this whole idea of having a good and beautiful relationship with God, you feel like, I don't have that. I don't have that. I want to experience this good and beautiful God. And I'm going to invite you as well to come up front and just allow these people, just invite God's presence and experience that goodness and that beauty, maybe for the first time. And if you want prayer for anything else, like financially or physically, something going on, we'd love to pray for you. So thank you for coming to the Vineyard. Thank you for getting out of bed. And I pray that you have a great rest of the weekend.